appreciate your faith, appreciate your belief in Jesus Christ, your focus today to do greater things than the rest of the world is doing out there. And that's not a matter of arrogance, but it is a matter of accurate focus on the things that God would like us to be doing on at this particular time. What a great privilege that we have to worship the Lord our God. And we know, of course, God is here. We're trying to focus on that. God is here this morning. God is participating in our worship. He is watching. He is listening. He is participating. We are in God. God is in us. And God is here. And let us feel the joy of our salvation this morning. Is anybody joyful today? I'm glad to see that. You are joyful. Why are you joyful? Because you're going to be with your family today, eat dinner with your family, because, you know, good things are going on, because the Chiefs are doing well, you know. Why are you joyful? We will draw from the springs of salvation for our joy. What joy we have in our God. Let's be praying about the situation throughout the world. Again, Nicaragua, Guatemala, things we've talked about in those countries, but really throughout the world, the household of saints, and including America. Let's be praying against the evils of the world everywhere. We have a job to do, don't we? We are Christians, and God hears our prayers. Then we have a tremendous job to do, don't we? Don't waste your life by not praying when there are things in this world that need your attention and need your prayers. We're blessed to turn to John, the 15th chapter today. We want to talk about the idea of abiding in Jesus and Jesus being the vine. We realize that the one that we are connected with, or the people or the group that we are connected with, makes all the difference as to what we become. Your group of friends, we realize peer pressure. We know what, you know, someone who's 12, 14 years old, what the world can do, that world of friends, because those friends begin to feed. They get a pipeline into the mind, and sometimes they form a person more than mom and dad actually does. And we realize the dangers of all this. Jesus understood these things as well. In John 15th chapter, Jesus uses a metaphor to talk about this connection and to talk about the one to whom we need to be connected. You and I, of course, know that this is Jesus Christ, but Jesus puts this very succinctly and very simply. We're always impressed with the lack of complexity in the things that Jesus had to say. We're always impressed with the brevity, even the Sermon on the Mount, even John 14 through 16 and 17, the brevity of Jesus to just say so much in such a short amount of time. John, the 15th chapter, Jesus says a lot regarding our relationship with God. And I would like for us to think about these things. Jesus is the vine. And we are the branches. And perhaps we should read that whole text before we begin. Jerry, could I have you read John 14? John 14 and verses 1 through 8. John chapter 15, I'm sorry, and verses 1 through 8.
Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which hath spoken unto you. Abide in me, as the branch cannot bear fruit itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branch. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. Jesus talks about the vine and the branches. talked about a vine and a vineyard dresser, one who had dressed the vine, vine dresser. Talks about the habit of the grape, if you will, to some degree or another. This was a subject, excuse me, that every Jew knew very well. You have scattered throughout the Old Testament the idea of a vineyard. Noah planted a vineyard. We have God's people compared to a vineyard in a good way and a bad way throughout the Scriptures. And we have just really many passages that deal with it. Every Jew understood this. All they had to do is take a walk and he's going to see a vineyard. I mean, this was a common thing. Jesus was the master of the common metaphor. He was able to bring that which the Israelites knew and to apply those things to the spiritual teaching. And thus his parables, of course, were very much known for this as well. So Jesus is talking about a very common thing, and he says from the very beginning something that every human being must really know. I am the true vine. I am the true vine. Now here's the idea of a grapevine. And we had the idea of the basis of this vine right here. Here's the trunk, and then the branches that come out from that. And then we have shoots or canes that come out from that. And we have the produce that eventually is going to come from this. What Jesus is saying is, I am the source. I am your source in all things. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Now, this is very, very important. Jesus viewed himself as someone somewhat substantial to the lives of these individuals. So substantial as to being their very foundation, the foundation of all things. Jesus is the one that needs to be feeding their lives. They need to be in Jesus if they are going to be properly nourished. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And I'd love to have a botanist just get up and explain exactly what's going on when we have all the stuff from a trunk going out to the branches. We have the carrying of the nutrition. We have the carrying of the moisture. We have all that cellular activity going on. And we have the trunk that is providing all of this and carrying it out. And it's getting it from the roots. It's absorbing all these things. And it's taking out and it's giving to all of the branches. And when all things work together in the right way, the branches, when they receive all these things, all this stuff, the branches then begin to produce. What Jesus says is, I am the vine. I am the centerpiece of all of this. I am going to be your foundation of all things, and we understand how that is. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6. John 8 and verse 58, remember when he was talking to the Jews, Jesus did not back away from the great reality of that which he knew he was. He said, I am before Abraham. I am before Abraham was. I am. And there was that appeal to being God himself. And Jesus is presenting himself as God in John 15. He is presenting himself as the one who's going to provide all the nutrition for everything that you need. Everything is going to come from Jesus Christ. He is the vine. We begin to see up front how important it is to be connected to Jesus, but in this passage, in this concept, we see Jesus as the source of all things that are substantial. There's nothing fake, of course. He's the true vine. There's nothing fake in Jesus. There's nothing weak. There's nothing non-functional. There's nothing useless. There's no deceitful stuff in Jesus. And it seems like, you know, we see the things of man created, and look at that new car, how perfect it looks and how functional it is. But you buy the new car, and guess what happens after about a year? You find out it's defects. You know, I thought you were backing this Ford or Toyota. I thought, you know, this was going to be real. And then you sold me something like this that has this problem in it. You know, these things don't happen with Jesus. There's nothing in Jesus that doesn't work. There's nothing in Jesus that's ineffective. There's no bad part in what Jesus offers. There's no failure in Jesus and his divine organization. No failure whatsoever in providing us anything and everything we need to be what God wants us to be. I am the true vine. And being the true vine signifies that Jesus will always act in accordance with his promises. He will always act in accordance with what he is as the great I am. Jesus will be the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Oh, I think that's stated somewhere in Scripture, is it not? And this is the Jesus that we have. I am the true vine. And we have all things set forth right here. Jesus is the source of all things. If you want to be nourished, if you want to become what God wants you to be, if you want to be a branch of God, if you want to be producing the fruit of God, where do all things begin? All things begin with being in Jesus Christ, who can feed your heart, feed your soul, and feed your mind, so that you will become more like your God. But he continues on, and my Father is the vine dresser. Jesus gets to the point pretty quickly here. We're going to skip part of verse 2 and come back to that as he makes another point later, but my Father is the vine dresser. Now, as we carry out the metaphor, he says, now, I am the true vine, but you know, God is going to do some pruning on the plants that are affiliated with me. The plants that are being fed by me, that say that they are in me, that claim to be one with me, my God is going to be pruning them. And he says that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. They had been pruned, and they were going. You know, if you have any kind of a plant, just about any kind of a tree, you realize it has to be pruned sometimes, right? What's the purpose of that pruning? The pruning is for better fruit, isn't it? And the same thing is true with the grapevine, and every grape grower realizes this, that they have to give a lot of care to every single plant that they have. They have to give a lot of care to go through that and to properly prune it. They prune some things like every other year. They prune the dead stuff off, and they prune the stuff that isn't going to grow well. But the pruning process is a good process. The pruning process goes to help to make a more healthy plant, and it goes to create more fruitfulness from this full system that is now at work. Pruning is very, very important. God, of course, is going to do some pruning when we look at the life of Peter. Remember what Peter was like in his early disciple days? Remember that Peter sees Jesus in Luke 14 walking on the water. Lord, may I come out to you also? And so he goes out in the water, but as he gets out in the water and he starts to look at the wind, and he starts to look at the seas, instead of looking at Jesus, and what does he begin to do? He begins to sink because he took his eyes off of Jesus. And that is the Peter we know, and that's why we love him, because we all do that same thing. But yet we see the growth of Peter. We see that curve of Peter as he would become something. Jesus had promised him, of course, in Matthew 16, unto you I will give the keys of the kingdom. He would unlock some things in the kingdom. In Acts, the second chapter, he's going to stand up on the day of Pentecost. And he's going to preach the gospel about Jesus Christ. And he's going to then preach the kingdom of God. He was given the keys. He's going to preach the kingdom of God on that day. And on that day, people enter into the kingdom of God. We see the growth of Peter and the usage of Peter by God. Peter was getting pruned. God was working on him. He was cutting out the bad stuff and helping him to grow. And he got to the point where he could write in 2 Peter chapter 1, down around verse 13, he talks about, I'm stirring you up, and he says, I'm about ready to put off my tent. And that idea of putting off his tent was all about dying for Jesus. And by the way, in John 21, Jesus had told him, when you are old, men will take you where you don't want to go. And by this, he was speaking of the manner of his death. So he was going to die for Jesus. What did God do with Peter? Peter, one of us, needed some pruning. He needed his plant pruned. He needed to have his faith strengthened. He needed to look at some of his methods. He needed to do some of these things better. He needed to become a better apostle. He needed to become a better teacher. He needed to become a better disciple. And he did these things. And this is the life of Peter. Look at what God did when he pruned on Peter. You know, God is going to prune us also, isn't he? If we were a plant in God, then he's going to prune us, right? If you're connected to Jesus and you're wanting to serve Jesus, is he going to work on your character? Is he going to try to cut out some of the bad stuff out of your life you don't need to have in your life? Is he going to try to get the impatience out of your life and build more patience? Is he going to try to cut out the criticism of your life, the criticizing ways of your life? And to build in more of a spirit of acceptance within you? Is he going to want to do that? Is he going to want to cut out the errors of your life and to build more truth into your life? Cut out the character imperfections and to put in the divine nature of God, 2 Peter chapter 1. Is God going to do these things? Who is God going to work on? Who is God going to work on? If you are plugged into Jesus, if you abide in Jesus as the vine, God is going to work on you. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? That's a good thing. You think of the pruning process, well, God, you're cutting some stuff out. That might not feel too good to the plant, right? You know. But God is going to prune us. And he will do that in an assortment of ways. He can feed us with the word. We learn and we cut off junk. He might allow some of the harsh things that come into our lives to be there because we need the harsh things to learn more about him and to be more focused upon him. Be thankful when hard things come to your life because they're perfectly designed to help you to become what you haven't been before. Yes, God can prune. He can even use Satan's activities as Satan tries to destroy you, like Job. God can prune you, and God was pruning Job, wasn't he? Is God going to prune us? Is he going to prune you as you're trying to teach the gospel to others and you're just learning the process and, you know, you're not concentrating on the right concepts or you've got a lot of yourself, selfishness involved in the process. Is God going to prune you? Is he going to teach you? Is he going to prune you? Yeah, he's going to prune everything about you if we're connected to Jesus. There's the big if. If we are connected to Jesus, God will prune us. God will be repainting us on a daily basis. God will be rebooting us on a daily basis. He will be resetting us and trying to get us back to the default of God in all that we do. This is what God will do because he's trying to build us into being partakers of his divine nature in 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and following. Who is this, by the way? That's you. What's your name? What's your name? That's the one. That's who I'm talking about. That's who God's talking about. Who's he going to prune? Insert your name. He's going to prune you. Thank you, Lord, for pruning me. May you prune me further. May you prune me, Father, till I'm all cut back of all the stuff that I don't need in my life. May you prune me until my attitudes are right, till I start thinking about others the way I should. Prune me, Lord, so I can have truly the right approach in my life, the right perspective about my own existence. Prune me. There's your prayer for today. Lord, I need you to prune me. And you know me better than myself. I know you know me better than I know myself. You know some junk that's stuck on me I don't need to have on me. And it keeps me from producing the way I need to produce. Lord, cut it off. Take me through whatever process I need to cut it off. Build me, make me after your will. Don't we sing about that? There's your prayer for the day. Please pray that prayer. Prune me everywhere, Lord, not that I just see fit. Prune me in your divine eyesight according to your divine plan. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. We'll talk about that in just a moment, more fruit. These disciples were growing a lot. You're already clean because of the word. You've been pruned on a lot since you guys became Christians, since you guys became disciples or followers of Christ. You guys have changed a lot. Man, can't you just see these individuals when they first started hearing about Jesus to what they became? Yeah, God had done some pruning on them. We need to expect that as we live in the vine, and Jesus is our true vine, and we're saying we're in association with, abiding in, connected with Jesus, that God has to do some pruning on us to keep us working as the plant of God. He continues, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in the vine. Abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We realized this so well explains, you know, this conflict of modern Christianity, of the human, really, that we think we can grow spiritually without really being strongly based on Jesus, without being founded on Jesus, without being connected to Jesus, without receiving the nutrition from Jesus. I want to be a strong Christian, but I don't want him feeding me as the vine every day, right? I don't want to take the time every day that I need. I don't want to have to do that meditational work, you know, for me to grow. I don't want to do all of that. And I want to be everything God wants me to be as far as fruit is concerned, but I don't really want to be in the vine the way that this is in the vine. But there's only one way this thing works. The only way it works is for us to be in Jesus. He who abides in me, and I in him. There's the idea of our fellowship, our connection with, not just to be bolted on. You know, on an engine, you can bolt a lot of pieces on, you know. Now you've got things connected to it. No, in this metaphor, we have the nutrition that flows from the vine that is so connected to the branches that nutrition flows out to the branches. And because of that nutrition and empowerment from the vine, the branches themselves bear fruit. There is the connection. He said, you're not going to do this. It's just not going to happen unless you abide in me, unless we have a relationship, unless we are connected to the point that I'm your foundation in what you do, so that every day I'm feeding you. Every day I'm giving you the divine so that you can take that out to the world. Everything we do has to be based in Jesus. Let us not think that we're going to find our spiritual help in any way except in Jesus, being fed by Jesus. That's not to remove the tools that human beings can be in helping each other, Christians can be in helping one another. But the great basis of all things is our connection to Jesus Christ. He feeds us. He feeds us in our perspective. He feeds us in our identity about who I am. He feeds us in what my God's attitude towards me is, what my very purpose of existence is in my God. He feeds me in my daily activity to grow in all of this. All of this having to do with abiding in him and him feeding me because I'm so connected to him. But if you cut that off, you cut it off. You cut off all those nutrients and all that right thinking coming into you. Jesus said, here's how it works. You have to abide in me. Don't expect it to come in any other way. If Jesus is our pipeline, then we're nourished and we're focused and we stay energized off the stuff that Jesus is doing to our lives and in our lives. Do we get that? If we're not excited about our Christianity, if we're not passionate about our Christianity, if we're not, you know, just feeling the strength of our Christianity, we really have to ask the question, do I really abide in Jesus? And perhaps Jesus really is not feeding my soul, feeding my daily existence. He continues, verse 2 and 6 together, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. So you get disease that comes onto the grapevine sometimes, and that's kind of a problem, wouldn't you imagine? Where there is disease, there's spreading death. And, you know, if that branch is going to act that way, you know, what do? You've had to go out there and take care of your trees. You know, there's a branch. What do with that dead branch or that diseased branch? You cut it off. What do you do with it? You cut it up and put it in the fireplace or throw it away or do something, but it's not in the plant anymore. It's not a part of the plant. The very fact that it's a dead branch means it's not a part of the plant anymore. It's not being fed by the vine. It's not being fed by the roots. What you do is you cut them off and you cast them away. And here's the sad reality. We may think I can live the life that I want. I can do all the wickedness I want. I can live out any expression of my selfishness that I want, and it's still okay. Anybody ever feel that way? Very easy to feel that way, isn't it? What God is telling us is, look, if you are not showing the fruit of God, if you're showing yourself as not being a part of the plant anymore, what are you doing here? I will cut you off, and I will burn you. Hebrews, the 6th chapter, goes into detail in this as well, down in verses 8, 6 through 8, 6 through 10 or so. When branches are not fruitful, they find themselves being fed by something else other than God. They're diseased. And if we're not fed by God, we all have to realize we are fed by something in life because we're all continually fed. There's a pipeline of something, a pipeline connected somewhere. And either God is feeding your mind daily, feeding your heart daily, or something else is. I wonder what that something else might be. Could be the world. You know, if you're watching filthy movies, what is Satan doing? You know, he's just trying to destroy you as a branch of Christ, right? He's trying to disease you. When you follow those things out, what happens is pretty soon you realize the truth of the matter. Hopefully you can realize it. I'm not really in the plant of God anymore. I'm a satanic plant. And we could extend this metaphor out, you know. Yeah, there are limbs that get cut off and they actually get grafted onto the plant of Satan. But they're all going to be burned eventually. We have to be honest with ourselves. We said this morning in class, you know, this is the point of the time of great reality. There's going to be a judgment day, and that's going to be a day of great reality. Romans 2 and verse 16, God will judge the secrets of men. It's a great day of clarity and transparency. The time for clarity and transparency in your life is now. What am I? Am I a diseased branch? What does my fruit tell me? Am I fruitful? Is my fruit evil? Looking at what comes from us tells us at what is feeding us. Is God feeding us? Or is selfishness feeding us? Is the world feeding us? Is Satan feeding us? If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now there's a reason that Jesus is bringing this up. Because Jesus is the great proclaimer of reality. Some might say, Jesus, you were just so negative and so many things that you said, you know. Sometimes reality seems very negative, doesn't it? Especially when you don't want to think about the reality. But here's the reality. If you live as a diseased plant, as far as God is concerned, you cannot abide in your God, and you will not live with your God. Moment of clarity now in our lives. Lord, help me to see what I am. Help me to be honest with what I am, that I might change what I am and continue then to be fed, or to turn to Jesus Christ and be fed by Jesus Christ. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So here it is, if Jesus is abiding in us and his word is abiding in us and we have that, you know, we're inside each other. We're in Jesus. Jesus is in me. The Word, I'm in the Word. The Word is in me. We just all dwell together. We know that idea, right? If you do this, God says, here's what one thing I will do. You become a partner with God in a very special way. Ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Here's one of the perks of being a Christian. As you are fed by Jesus and have a certain perspective, desiring certain things, desiring the way of righteousness in the world, God knows where you are, and God will answer your prayers with a yes. God will give you what your desires are. I know we could go study that out. Does that mean that God will give us, Father, I want a classic car, and I don't want a 56 Chevy, I want a 57 Chevy. You know, give that to me. You know, is that exactly what he's talking about? No, I don't believe that's what he's talking about. But if we are concerned about the things of God, and we pray about those things that God is concerned about, as well as many things that deal with our lives, what does God say he will do? I will hear you, and I will give you accordingly. And we'll let God be the great wise God for all of his yeses and his noes. But the one thing that is certain is that when we are in our God, when we are in Jesus, then God is watching over this plant and answering the prayers of this one that's part of the plant. That's part, if you will, of the system of Jesus, who is in Jesus Christ. How beautiful this is. Let us never take for granted the privilege that God has given to us. When I am in the right place, when I am in Jesus Christ, God's going to listen to my desires. He's going to hear me. And it will be done. In that we see the extreme value that you and I have to God. We always see this. Are you tired of hearing that from me yet? Everywhere we turn, we see our great value to God. This is what God purposed in us. He created us to love us. He created us to be with us. He created us to listen to us, not to be robotic servers that will just every 17 seconds just kind of, you know, bow down and worship God. God's looking for something special here in us, how special it is. This is what God built. He actually wants to hear what you have to say, and he's going to listen to it and answer that in view of what you desire. We've said this before. If you have that right, we said it in class today, what should you be doing today? If we've got a wicked world out there, and your prayer makes a difference, what do you need to be doing today? Are you really going to go 10 hours without praying? Are you really going to wake up in the morning and never pray until you go to bed at night and you ask God to forgive you of your sins and go to sleep? Wow. God has given us such a privilege. What responsibility is our hands in the avenue of prayer? But of course, conversely, if we are not abiding to Jesus, what can we expect? Well, we could explore that. We know what that means. If we're not in Jesus, and we're a branch that's cut off, Does God listen to the wicked? He listens to the righteous. And there's the promise. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. It works. God hears. And God answers. Who is that, by the way? Whose name? Abide in me. My words abide in you. Someone will ask what they desire, and it will be done for them. Whose name goes there? Your name goes there. Jesus wants you to know this is you. Prayer is ours. Do we know what that means? There's part of the fruit that we can't actually accomplish. Verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. What shows you are a disciple of Jesus? What did Jesus do? He came and bore fruit, didn't he? His life was fruitfulness of righteousness in so many ways. He came and he saved. He brought fruit. He produced for his God. All men will know you are my disciples when you bear much fruit. And when is my Father glorified? When do you actually exalt God? Is it when you have a good intention about lifting God up or doing God's will? Is God glorified by great intentions that tomorrow I might do something for God? What is it that glorifies God? It's doing good fruit. What does God want? What does Jesus want of us? He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to bear much fruit. Do we see that? And there's just so much fruit to bear as Christians. We realize self-growth, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, where putting off the satanic, fleshly things and putting on the things of Jesus. Serving the lost. Jesus just spoke the truth everywhere he went. When's the last time you just talked about truth wherever you went? When's the last day that you did that? Whether you were at the store or whether you were a friend, you just talked about the things of God. And that's what came out of you. When's the last time you said to somebody, you know, hey, have you thought about your soul? It's time that you really understand who you are and what your God is doing for you and bringing you to Him. Wow, what a great blessing your God has given to you. Hey, let's think about these things together. When's the last time you did that? In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, serving as brothers and sisters, Galatians 5:13, serving one another in love. Again, you don't just come here, talk about assemblies, come together and sing the songs, check the box, turn around and leave, and go eat lunch and watch the Chiefs game. Now, I'm going to try to watch part of the Chiefs game, you know, and I'm not going to spend much time with you today because I'm not going to get you sick, but that's actually an act of love that I'm giving you today. What do we need to do when we're together? Hey, my brother, how's your faith? Maybe I haven't gotten around to you yet to ask. I've asked a lot of you that myself. You know, how's your faith today? How are you doing this week? How are you doing spiritually? We need to be encouraging each other. We need to be uplifting one another. We need to be saying, you know, I want you to know that I prayed for you last week. Who did you pray for last week in this church? Anybody? Hey, I want you to know, Jerry, I prayed for you. Bruce, where are you? I want you to know that I prayed for you at least every morning. Sometimes at 3:30 in the morning I prayed for you. And every night, somewhere between 10:45 and 11:15 when I usually go to sleep, I prayed for you. I want you to know, Bruce, I prayed for you. I prayed for you probably 10 to 15 times. Edwin? Edwin's not here anymore. How many times have you prayed for Edwin and his family? I know he has received many, many hundreds of prayers from this church in view of what he has been suffering and through in view of what the family has been going through here recently. We need to just serve one another. We need to be saying, I love you. We need to be saying, you're important to me. Thank you for your faith. I'm so glad that you're a part of my life. I'm glad that we're serving together. Thanks for being my brother and sister. You're important to me. We're not a part of that big old corporate body where we come and we all sit in one direction and watch the speaker. Well, maybe we are part of that sometimes. God expects something a little bigger, doesn't he? Let's do that thing. Let's just be there. Let's make this the family. Yes, we are the family of God, are we not? God is our Father, and we are brothers and sisters in our Savior. We need to serve. We need to serve our families. We need to have Jesus in our families. We need to be thinking about spiritual things with our children, with our husbands and wives, thinking about principles of righteousness, thinking about what that family should be, where it should go, doing the things of God, bearing the fruit, serving the needy, looking to those that need help, willing to spend your own money on people that need help. And there are some here that are willing to do that in a big way, and I appreciate that very much. I've seen you in action. I appreciate that attitude. We need to serve. We need to have that attitude towards the orphan. We need to have that attitude towards those who do not have enough to eat. Service. It's all about fruit, isn't it? Worshiping God, coming. Yeah, that's a fruit of our lives as well, isn't it? We're all gathered together, and today we give God the glory. That's what our heart wants to express. Well, here's a short list with some general things. What do every one of us need to be doing? We need to be bearing a little bit of fruitfulness now and then. Is that what he said? Bear fruit, you know, at least a couple times a year. Bear much fruit. How about if that's a daily activity? How about if it's what you think about all of the time? How about if it's what you think about even when you're on the job, you want to bear spiritual fruit with those lost people over there? When you're with your brothers and sisters, wherever you are, when you're with strangers, you just want to bear fruit for your God. You know what? When you're connected to Jesus, what happens? This is what happens. When we don't have a spirit of wanting to bear fruit, then we have to start asking ourselves, to whom am I connected? Who is feeding me? Where is that pipeline coming from that's coming into my mind? Let's make it Jesus Christ. Now let's have this attitude of bearing much fruit. Let's make it our mentality every single day, today, tomorrow. Bearing fruit can only be done in fellowship with Jesus. And that's his point. We have to abide in Jesus. If you're not in Jesus, you're missing everything today, including your eternal life. It's time that you change that. We need to honestly consider our fruitfulness. What does our fruitfulness or lack of that illustrate about our faith? Our lives always tell us about what's clicking inside. It tells us about our faith and the operation of God or the lack of it. Consider your fruitfulness. What does it say? As a fruit bearer, expect for God to improve your serve. Thank you, Lord. I don't always enjoy that process, but I need it. Oh, I found out I was wrong. I was pointed out that I was wrong by a fellow worker or someone I was studying with trying to convert. And when I studied, I found out I was wrong about a particular subject. I just got pruned. I didn't enjoy that pruning, but now I know the truth on that whatever. Prune me. Teach me. Teach me my qualities. Teach me the character you want me to have. But expect God, as a fruit bearer, expect for God to be working on you to make you, if you're plugged into doing the will of God, expect for God to make you as good of a servant as you can be, as you are accomplishing his will. And yes, we are to bear much fruit for God, and let's all be thinking about the busyness that we need to have every day of our lives, not just the seasonal thing, not just when the Spirit hits you, but what every day really needs to be in glorifying your God and lifting your God up for every day. He humbled himself, has humbled himself for you to lift you into his presence. This is who God is. May we do this in glorifying God. Appreciate you paying attention so well this morning. Maybe you're not right with God. I hope that you'll think about these things. Abide in me. I am the vine, You are the branches. The only hope you have is being in the plant of Jesus Christ. If you're not in that plant, then you're planted in the wrong place. You're connected to the wrong thing. Your only hope in all of existence is in Jesus Christ. I hope that you'll think about that today. Perhaps this is the day you've come to the realization you need to your Lord. All things are ready. You need to be moved by your faith to move forward into Jesus Christ, be baptized into Jesus. There's water right here. You can be baptized. Why not use this opportunity? Why not get yourself into Jesus Christ? Let Jesus start feeding you and put on that great hope that we all have in living with the Lord. Why not obey the Lord right now as together we stand and as we sing.